This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 160. I fought physics, and physics won.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome, folks, to another episode of our podcast.
I'm waving at you.
Hi. Hello. Ohio got some. All right, anyway. First of all, want to thank you guys for hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address to get to our website if you're not doing it, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just regular questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast re-airing on Monday nights at the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. Our show is now running over there at about 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
We are hoping that will change.
Yep. Any day now.
That train it seems to be a little late right now.
Don't really see it as I'm standing on the platform in the station, but I know it's supposed to come because the app on my iPhone says so.
Right.
So, 11 p.m. Eastern time, which is about 8 p.m. Pacific time. Again, hoping that's going to change, but until it does, that's when you can catch our show. But make sure that you're not only listening to our show at the All Games Radio Network, because that would be hoarding.
And hoarding is as bad as whoring, and that is bad.
Except you typically don't get paid for hoarding, whereas
I don't know.
You can't get paid
for
hoarding.
If you cow hoard, you can get money for cows.
Cash for cattle?
Cattlecash.com.
.org. Because
I bet that's actually a site.
Be surprised. But while you're listening to our show, make sure that you bounce over a little bit earlier, like, you know, normal hours of the day, and check out some of the other great entertaining shows. Like, well, for instance, Gametopius is new. You should probably check those guys out.
They took our spot, those B-tards.
No, not B-tards. Come on. We're all inclusive, okay? Remember the tongue lashing that we took from Derek when we supposedly bumped him and we didn't really?
Yeah.
Okay? And were we B-tards? No. And neither is Gametopius.
Okay, Gametopius is really
cool. I like Rachel.
I have a huge crush on Tedekin.
Okay, Tedekin. Who doesn't have a crush on Tedekin?
I know. There should be an I Love Tedekin
Scott
Facebook
has
club.
A crush on Tedekin. He just won't admit it.
Yeah. I love you, Tedekin. Okay. So yeah, go check out Gametopius. Dead Pixel Live is always a common favorite among the All Games peoples.
It's a good one. There's also Eva Avatar playing over there.
There's also Video Game Outsiders, which just went live. So if you liked them when they were in the archives, you're going to love them now.
And Fantastic Forums back as well.
And do not forget such places like Orange Loud Radio, the Bobby Black Wolf Show. And even though they're not a part of the network, Friday Night Gaming is also superb.
So there's a lot of really entertaining things to take care of you at All Games, so make sure when you check in those things out, you bounce into chat and let them know if you appreciate it that we gave you the hookup.
If we, yeah.
Because we did.
Uh-huh.
We totally did.
Yes, we did.
Speaking of the hookup, you want to make sure that you're following us on Twitter, if you're not already, which I know that you are, because I see you stalking me out there.
I see you stalking me, trying to play like you know me.
You're looking for me in the daytime with a flashlight. Okay, well, maybe not that far. But you can definitely follow both Pandalicious and myself on Twitter. twitter.com/ninjasista will get you all the randomly things that pop out of my brain.
And twitter.com/LadyEsh will bounce you out to all the random antics of my mind.
And it also helps if you put a .com in before the slash, because twitter.com/LadyEsh is, I don't know where that's going to go.
Oh, well,
that might
whatever.
Not get you anywhere.
Just go on to Twitter if you've got it and search for LadyEsh. It's me. So you can see what I'm talking about.
And on the final pieces of the hookup, make sure that you check out our, I guess, we'd call them Little Brother Podcast.
They are.
Because most of them are definitely younger than me.
Well,
be careful. Be careful. Watch.
They are our bastard brothers. You must check them out. I actually just came off of doing their show before coming over here. So their latest episode, I believe it's episode 7, features Mewa.
I don't even know if that's, is that right?
What?
I don't even know. Mewa? What language are you speaking? Are you creating your own language over there?
Moi is French for me.
Yes.
Moi.
Yes. I said Mewa.
Yeah, all right, fine. Just moi.
Okay. I was very confused. You're starting to speak
M-E.
You're starting to speak like Miss Piggy.
M-E and was it confuses on B3, me. And I went, wee!
So make sure that you check out BostonBastardBrigade.com, featuring our own King Baby Duck, Blue Onyx, and the rest of their gang. I think they even added a new guy last week, Jay Bezo, to the crew. So the Bastard Bunch is growing. You should check them out. If nothing else, I guarantee within the first 5 minutes of listening to their show, you will laugh and or pee yourself.
Or both.
So, you know, score either way. You're either getting out of work early or you're enjoying the day. So, last little bit before we actually get into the game stuff, the anime stuff, the gadget stuff, you know, the geek chic.
All the stuff that we tend to talk about in and our little venue.
Yeah. I've got an assignment for the interwebs.
Oh no, is there a quiz?
There's not
I didn't study.
Quiz.
I didn't study.
Okay, it's just common knowledge. You'll be fine. There are no fractions.
I don't have common knowledge.
Oh, well, then you're screwed.
I know.
Sorry.
Fuck.
Eek. So here's the assignment, guys. And it has a deadline.
Shit.
Yeah. We're going legit on this piece.
No.
So here's the assignment, interwebs. This one we're calling it Assignment Avatar. What I want you to do is I want you to use whatever system that you want to create some very specific avatars. You can use the Xbox Live avatars. You can, if you can figure out a way to get them to me, you can use the PlayStation Home avatars. You can make Miis on the Wii. You can use whatever avatar creator on the web like Zwinky or whatever. But the assignment is to create some avatars using any combination of those systems that look like anime characters. I want to see your Haruhi Suzumiyas made out of NXE avatars. Zwinky me a Goku from DBZ.
That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. So that's your assignment.
My character, my Xbox Live looked like Sheva from Res 5. It was pretty cool.
So that's your assignment. Make them. Send them to us. questions@esh.mobi. And you can put in the subject line assignment avatar. But they've got to be in by September 10th. Because they may or may not get used in the secret project that we're working on.
Secret project, like spies.
Yeah, something like that. We got to rework on the music. You know, it's a work in progress.
Hey!
It's an instrumental.
It was
good
improv.
Stuff.
That was
hey,
improv.
And it was good. I'm just saying we need a little background music on that. And then it'll be accessible. Okay. So that's the assignment, guys. Assignment avatar. Make some avatars using whatever system that look like anime characters. And I will even accept video game characters drawn in animation style. So if you can make a Sephiroth.
Ooh, a Seppy Seppy.
Send it to me. Questions?
Send it to me too.
At esh.mobi.
Send it to me first.
Subject line, assignment, avatars. It's going to be cool, people. I think you're going to like it. I'm getting excited.
I am already excited.
So with that, that concludes all of our business. The business. So,
give me the business.
So I guess we can get down to the fun stuff now.
Because business is never fun.
Business can be fun, but this is the real deal. This is what people come for, what we're about to get into right now. The video games, the tech gadgets, and the anime.
Do we have anything tech gadgety?
I kind of maybe have a little gadgety thing.
I mean, I've got gadgets I could talk about, but I don't know.
That's a different podcast.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So I got a little gadget stuff. Hopefully within the next couple of months, we're actually going to get a lot more gadget stuff because we do have our Cool for Back to School podcast coming up. So make sure that you're listening to that first week of September. We'll talk about all the things that you need to grab a hold of on your way back to Learnimication Land.
Learnimication Land.
Learnimication Land. So I'm going to pass the mic of 1,000 truths over to you, Panda, because I've been running my mouth pretty much for a while now, and I have Starbucks and Mountain Dew.
Well, then, I've got three little tidbits to talk about with everybody today.
Not little nipples?
No.
Okay.
Jerk.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, so as I was talking about earlier, I stopped over in B3ville to hang out with the B3 crew. And they extended me an invitation to go with them to the movies earlier today. And I went to go see The Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, the Tarantino flick!
Yes, indeedy-do. Granted, we went to the 11:10 showing, so obviously, matinee bitches, little less monies goes a long way.
And, you know, you need that because you are now an employed panda.
I am an employed panda, so but it's very slow. It's going to be like a rolling schedule.
I wanted to mention that because I can no longer make the broke-ass, no-job panda joke.
Well, see, you could still call me broke.
Right.
But I got the job.
But you got the job. Huzzah!
And having a job is half the battle. G.I. Joe. Okay. Anyway, so they invited me to go out with them to go see The Inglourious Basterds, which I happily accepted due to the fact that I've hardly seen any movies in quite some time due to the broke acidness.
Right.
Not to mention, I wanted to hang around with the whole B3 crew to get an idea, a better idea of what they are all about.
Right.
So, like I said, I accepted and I went. And I was very excited to see this movie because, hello, killing Nazis.
It's like a video game, but with Brad Pitt.
And they weren't zombies. So, I mean, the first aspect of this whole movie, I mean, I'll talk about it in entirely what I thought. There were several points in this movie where there was a lot of dead air. Like, there'd be two people having a conversation, and one person would ask their question. There'd be, like, 4 or 5, maybe even 5 to 6 seconds of dead air, no ambiance in the background, like dry tension air.
Mm-hmm.
And then a response. But half the time, those dialogues were not, like, I felt like the dialogues were not meant to create tension. Like, the opening scene, there's a lot of dry, crackly air tension, but it's meant to make you think, holy crap. Because right. The opening sequence of this movie is really good. Like, you really kind of thought that, you know, there'd be, like, guns a-blazing and, like, it'd be super, super bloody. Because, as we know, Quentin Tarantino is a great fan of the blowings ups of the organs through guns.
He comes partly from the school of...
Grindhouse?
No. I was going to say that he comes from the Michael Bay school of explosions. But
he does it with organs and blood.
He has developed, however, his own school of thought on what gore and violence are.
So I mean, I can give you guys a little bit of a description of the opening scene. You've got a man chopping wood out in the country. there's a bitch nearby. She's hanging some clothes. I thought it was his woman, but it's actually his daughter. You know, and it's all quiet. The hills are alive with the sound of music kind of bullshit.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden this car starts coming up the way. And the daughter's all, papa, papa. Mind you, everything's kind of subtitled until they go English on you. So, I mean, half the time you have to watch the screen because you got to read. But then when they start flipping English on you, you're totally in the zone. She's like, papa, there's somebody coming. And he's like, prepare my water for bathing and then go in the house with your sisters. So she runs over and gives him some water and he sits down and he splashes himself so he doesn't look all dirty. And who is it coming up the hill but some fucking Nazi Jew hunters? You know, and there's two guys and they hang outside, but the main guy you want to worry about is this guy named Landa. And I can't remember who plays this guy, but I mean, he's got salt and pepper hair, very sunny disposition, you know, like, do you mind if we go in the house and we talk, you know, and the guy's like, we? So, you know, they go in the house and the daughters are hanging out, you know, and the guy sits down, he's like, you know, the house, the father of the household offers them a drink. He's like, no wine for me. He's like, you guys are dairy farmers, right? Awkward tension. We? Well, then I'd love some of your fresh milk then. Okay. Give him the milk. He, like, shoots it down like it was booze, like, ha-cha. You know, and then he's like, you know, I left my men outside. I trust you. I would appreciate if your girls were not here during our conversation. You know, and pretty much as soon as the girls leave the room, Landa starts, you know, starts talking up this man. I think his name was, like, Le Pepperdice. You know, and he's just like, you know, there were a lot of other cow herder farmer people, you know, dairy farms around here, four of which were Jews. Now we have all of them except for one family. Now I'm not saying that you have anything to do with this, but any information about that would be really helpful. Dead silence, you know, and then all of a sudden they start talking in English, you know, the two of them begin to talk in English.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Landa is pretty much like, you know, so what have you heard? And, you know, and the father is kind of like, I heard they escaped. I heard that they made it to Spain. And he's like, really? You know, and then he's like, well, you know what they call me, right? There's a big thing about nicknames in this movie. Everyone has an associated nickname throughout this historical time, quote unquote, because this is kind of fiction. This didn't exactly happen in history, as we all know. But, you know, and he's just like, they call him, like, the Jew hunter. Like, they call him the hunter because he doesn't just think of himself as, you know, a Nazi hunting Jews. Like, he's able to think, he says he's able to think like a Jew. You know, yeah, oh my God, like.
Okay.
So he keeps, you know, and he's building up all this tension. And, you know, the silence is so deafening between the two. So, you know, finally, you know, he's just like, you're holding this family that we're looking for. They're here in this house, even though we've had people here before. You know, and this is all in English, you know, and the guy starts to break down. He's just kind of like, yes. And he's like, and I take it because you admitted this to me in English that they don't speak English. So he's like, no. And he's like, they're hiding underneath your floorboards like rats, right? You know, so he kind of like nods and he has the guy point out where they are on the floorboards. So then, you know, they go back to speaking French, and it sounds like he's just going to leave. He brings in his three guys from the Gestapo. He places them, and they just shoot the fuck out of this man's floor. So, I mean, there's no blood coming out of the floors, but all of a sudden you see a bit of a person scamper away like a rat, you know, and it's this 18-year-old by the name of Shoshana, who you see later on in the film, but I won't go into all of that. And you see her just running from underneath the house. And Lando goes outside, very calm, takes off his jacket, slightly raises his hand because he's holding a Walther, which is, like, I guess they're the standard gun for Nazis at the period of time. And you think he's going to, you know, and he's aiming at her, and you think he's going to just shoot her. And he lets her go. And he's just like, au revoir, Shoshana. And she's just, you know, she's bloodied, and she's dirty, and she's just running. And this is how the whole story starts. So the real story doesn't happen until about 4 years later, you know, and you got Brad Pitt, who's got these 8 Jews that he's, like, formed into the Bastards. Mm-hmm. They, and he apparently descends from some Indian.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls himself the Apache. And he's just like, I want Nazi scalps. Each of you motherfuckers owe me 100 Nazi scalps. You know, and at first I was just like, oh, he's just a Southerner. He's just talking. No. This is Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
So after they completely obliterate, like, this whole Nazi party, all these dead, some alive, some of them are dead, and they're just peeling off the scalps. Now, one of the beats...
Ew!
Oh, yeah, like, brains and all, like, you know.
Ew!
And, I mean, close-ups? Oh, jeez. You know, one of the B3 guys was a little upset in terms of how they were showing the scalpings in the movie, because, you know, original Indians apparently did it from the back of the neck so they could get the whole scalp as a piece, whereas they were going from the front in this movie, so it was a much smaller piece of scalp. Regardless, they cut off so
I'm going to go with, ew. That's going to be my vote. I didn't see the movie.
So many scalps.
But that's how I'm voting.
So I mean, they were just out for it. You know, Brad Pitt wanted to just invoke fear in the hearts of Nazis, and he was doing it. My favorite scene in terms of out of this whole movie, there's several scenes that stick in my mind besides the first one, but after this slaughter of this Nazi party, there are 3 still alive. And the Bastards are all around these 3 guys. And, you know, and they grab the captain and they're just like, look, we want you to tell us where this another fucking party is. We want to know where they're going and we want to know what they're playing with. You know, and this guy's like, no. He's like, fuck you guys. You know, he's just like, you know, we got this guy. You know, have you heard of the Bear Jew, you know, and of course, all the Bastards, you know, they all start kind of laughing, you know, and this Nazi guy's kind of like, I've heard of the name, yes. And he's just like, he's in that tunnel over there. Now, if you fucking tell me where these fucking Nazi scum are, he'll stay in there. But if you don't, I'm going to have him out here. And you know what he's going to do to you? Do you know what the Bear Jew does? And he's like, you know, he hits people with a club. He goes, oh, no, 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 no. He beats the ever-loving fuck out of you with a Louisville slugger. He's like, and it's the closest thing that we get to see to a movie. So, go ahead. Don't tell us, because we're going to get something out of this. And the guy still refuses.
Okay.
So, of course,
That's a mistake.
They summon the Bear Jew. You know, and as he's walking through the tunnel, you hear him slightly hitting the bat along the wall. Now, this they dragged it out a lot. I believe it was
Tarantino.
I believe it was Eli Roth who plays the Bear Jew.
Possibly. I know he's in the movie.
I believe he plays the Bear Jew. And he comes out. Now, you know, they make him sound like he's going to be this big grizzly. You know,
but Eli is a little guy.
Yes, well, he is. But, I mean, the Nazis in this movie make the Bear Jew out to be, like, this golem. So, you know, so when he finally comes out, you're kind of like, you know, what? But, you know, he comes up and he's wearing a wife beater. He looks kind of grungy. He looks like he came out of the North End.
Gotcha.
You know, and the guy's on his knees and he's looking up, you know, and, you know, the Bear Jew looks down at him and he's wearing a swastika. And, you know, and he pokes it with his bat and he's like, did you get that for fucking killing Jews? You know, and the guy's like, for bravery, you know, and then he just winds up and he clocks this dude. Like, I don't even mean like clocks. I mean, you see the dust from like a part of a remnant of the bat just bam across this dude's head. And he starts like, you know, quivering like a fish and it just starts to pan out and you just see the Bear Jew just clubbing into his head. And it's just big, bloody mess, and they're all going apeshit. So one guy gets really excited after that and shoots the second Nazi. So there's only one left. You know, and they bring him, you know, Brad Pitt's like, bring me the other one alive, please. So they bring him, and he's like, are you going to show us? And instantly, this Nazi was like, right here. This is where they are. This is what they have.
Would you like me to escort you there?
He wasn't playing around at all. And he's just like, all right, well, you know we're not into holding, you know, we're not about prisoners here. Now, what are you going to do when we let you go? And he's like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to see my mom. I'm going to give her a big hug. You know, and Brad Pitt's like, you're going to take off your uniform? And he's like, yes, I am, and I'm going to burn it. And he's like, oh, no, no, no. He's like, I don't want none of you Nazis to be taking off your uniforms because then I wouldn't know who you are. So I'm going to put something on you that you can never take off. So Brad Pitt takes up this huge fucking knife.
Oh, shit.
And he stabs a swastika into their foreheads. So they have a scar. A swastika star.
Yep.
On their foreheads for the rest of their lives to mark them as Nazis. So I was like, whoa! They are just taking names. It is visually stunning. I mean, they do a lot of outdoor scenes where, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't know where they did a lot of their filming, but it was very pretty, like in the opening scene. I mean, wide open spaces. You know, when it came time to be very dramatic, like, later on, at one point, they are deciding how they're going to group a whole lot of Nazis together to take them all out. As the story holds it, all the four big generals and the Führer all happen to be at the same place at the same time. So the bastards are planning to go in there and, you know...
You're not going to give away the whole movie, right?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm just saying, they all are at this certain place and you think certain things are going to happen... The way that, you know, it seems like it's going to go ABCD, but it doesn't go ABCD at all. But, I mean, visually very stunning. I like how they capture certain places by, you know, one place has more reds so that you hone in on everything that's red. It makes you think, why are all these things highlighted in such a way, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, if you're paying attention to stuff like that, you'll be like, oh, my God. That was really cool. That's really awesome, too.
So let me ask you then, do you think that Tarantino's got his mojo back?
I think so. Outside of, like I said, the few points of silence that didn't add to any of the tension already, I thought were a little loose, like a little lacking.
Because for a while there, it felt like Tarantino kind of...
He lost it for a bit.
Well, he and Rodriguez. I mean, yeah. Like, it. I am not a Planet Terror fan.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not a huge fan of Grindhouse movies to begin with.
I didn't think the Grindhouse movies were so bad.
No, I'm talking about Grindhouse movies in general.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I didn't think that Rodriguez's Grindhouse movies were bad. Yeah, that's what you call, you know, Planet Terror and Grindhouse. I don't think that they were bad. But as far as, you know, comparing them to... Desperado and comparing them to Pulp Fiction, and I know that they're different genres, it didn't seem like the same zeal that both of those directors had came through in the Grindhouse movies like they did in Desperado and Pulp Fiction or even Sin City. Like it seems like as they're getting older that quick, easy bite is something that they're moving away from as directors.
Right. Well, I mean, comparing to Pulp Fiction and stuff, I wouldn't say that Inglourious Basterds is like that. The quality is definitely a little different. And, I mean, it does kind of come off a little bit different from what he's done originally. Do I think that this might recapture his, you know, our attention to him? I actually really do think so. Even with the few patches, like I said, of the dead silence, which did not add to the scene, but they didn't take away that much either. It was just a personal, for me.
Right. Well, my question is, you know, do you think after watching the movie that it seems like Tarantino's interested in doing movies again? Because for a while there, it seemed like he wasn't. Like, you know, Rodriguez brought him in, and he and Frank worked on Sin City, and then it was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing the movie thing, so y'all can suck it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, Tarantino's back, and he's doing a movie, and they're going to be killing some Nazis. For me, And I know having kids is a great thing and all, but I've kind of lost a little bit of respect for Robert Rodriguez doing all the kids movies in 3D and stuff.
Mm.
You know, like shorts, really? Really?
Yeah, I know. Really? I don't see what's really cool about that, to be honest.
Like, I know kid entertainment has to happen, and you need good directors to make good kids movies, but Spy Kids 3 was not a good movie.
I will admit, I really liked the first one.
I did like the first one. I'm not going to lie. I liked Spy Kids 1. Spy Kids 2, I was like, eh.
And then
But it's got Ricardo Montalban, so I'll stick with you.
Right.
Because it's fucking Khan, all right? So I'm with you. But even having Ricardo in 3, you went and you got Stallone, and you killed it.
So do I think he's back with this?
Yeah, because I feel like
100% back.
I don't think so. Like, even in just watching the trailers, I was just like, okay.
No, I do not think he's back. Do I think he's made a very strong attempt towards a movement? Yes. With this, I do feel that. Now, I mean, if the next movie he tends to pull, I think he's back in his zone. So I think once he's struck with his genius again, that we will all fall madly in love with Quentin again.
So let me ask a question. Do you think, because this is kind of how I feel like Tarantino's on the path to going like the Scorsese route?
I think so too.
And like Rodriguez is on like the Woody Allen route. Like, he's going comedy. And every once in a while, he's like, oh, yeah, but don't forget, I can blow shit up, too, and show people being naked and sexy and, you know, be a little violent. But for the most part, we're doing kids' movies here. We're going for the easy laugh. We're going to make my kids laugh. And Tarantino's like, all right, I'm back, and now I'm gonna put some gore up in your face.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to try and really...
Corsese? I think he could go that way. Scorsino? Some of the scenes in Glorious Bastard, for some strange reason, like the timing in terms of the bloodshed kind of made me kind of remember certain aspects of some scenes from The Departed.
Right.
So I mean,
Which The Departed is an amazing flick.
Oh yes, I loved
The Departed.
There were some really good elements there. I'm like, why does this slightly remind me of, like, all of a sudden I'm expecting, you know, someone to be dropped from a building and just splat. I mean, this was the blood in this was completely Scorsese red. I was like, "Oh, okay. I know where we're going now." So yes, I could feel him going that way. I haven't watched that many Woody Allen movies to be able to find a distinct pattern between Rodriguez.
I just mean taking the path of, okay, going for the funny.
Okay,
like,
so...
It seems to me like he's committed to, really, for the most part, do movies that his kids can go to, period,
right.
For a while.
Okay, well then maybe...
And I don't think that that's a bad idea.
No, neither do I.
I don't necessarily think that that's a... best use of his talent.
Though actually, now that you bring up Scorsese, there was a trailer for this new movie, his new movie, Shutter Island, which has DiCaprio in it.
Well, of course it does, because they work well together.
Yes, so trailer looked really good, too.
It takes a Martin Scorsese to make a Leonardo DiCaprio a badass.
And he does.
Like, every time they get together and he makes him a tough guy, you're like, I totally believe that Leonardo DiCaprio...
That he could play a badass.
That he is going to kick this dude's ass. Like, I believe that he could kick this dude's ass. Where normally I'm just like...
I'll never let go, Jack.
Exactly. I'm just like, oh, you pussy.
So,
dump her ass in the water.
So anyway, Inglourious Basterds, if you haven't gone to see it and you're old enough to see it or have parents that are willing to take you to see it... Go see it. I do not believe that you will dislike this. If you live in the Boston area, I feel that there will be a certain part in the movie, I won't say when, but I believe a certain part will happen that will either make you cry out and go huzzah, or you'll just start hooting like you're at a baseball game. Because that's what happened earlier today. I won't tell you when, but if you're from Boston, you'll see
it. There's a thing in there.
You'll know. So outside of the movies, I wrote an article last week about a DS game that I am infatuated with called The World Ends With You. It was one of my DS discussions. I did not go full on into it because I had only just started playing. I've made some decent progress since the article, so I just wanted to brush up on some stuff that I know I didn't cover in my article. And essentially, for those who haven't read it, you play a kid named Neku who wakes up in the middle of Shibuya. He doesn't really remember anything else but his name, and there are these frogs that attack him, and he finds out that he's a part of this game. You have to, in order to be a part of this game, you have to give up something very valuable to you. You don't get to decide either. These antagonists called the Reapers decide what that is. So you have to survive this game for 7 days. And if you do, you get a second chance at whatever, and you get whatever you paid to enter into the game back. So apparently throughout the game, I didn't realize this, but you're dead. Spoiler alert.
You have to say spoiler alert before.
Spoiler alert.
No, it's too late now.
All right, well, you're dead. That is the game. You have died. And in order
to get...
You are dead.
You are dead.
And in order to get a second chance at life, you have to give up something. You know,
Well, what can you give up? You're dead.
Well, you see...
Oh, here we go.
Like I said in the article, I had already kind of pictured or assumed that Neku, who you play, gave up his memories of himself. Because he doesn't remember anything besides his name. He doesn't know where he comes from. He doesn't know if he has any family. He's very, very emo, which I've talked about. Mm-hmm. Your first partner that you encounter in the game, her name is Shiki. You know, and she's very obsessed with her friend Eerie. You know, and I thought that Eerie is what got taken from her. And actually, spoiler alert, you find out that Shiki, like, when you look at her, she's very, you know, she wears very good clothes. You know, very upbeat, kind of annoying. And you actually find out that the way that Shiki looks to you is what Eerie actually looks like. So the real Shiki doesn't look like the Shiki that you are partners with. So she was so envious of Eerie that when she died, she gave up herself to play this game. And she kind of doesn't want to go back to being alive because she would no longer look like Eerie, and she'd hate Eerie for the rest of her life.
Wow. So that's kind of deep for a DS game.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, I was just like, whoa, you have now, like, upped the ante by, like, a gradient of 7. You know, like, I can't imagine 8-year-olds playing this game going, oh, my God, I don't want to hate my friends either.
If an 8-year-old's playing that game, they're probably not thinking that. They're probably just going, hit the button, tap the screen.
Good point. So, I mean, needless to say, you know, there's a lot more going on here. The other two players that I've already encountered beat and rhyme, which I think is really funny that their names are kind of related. It makes sense because they're actually brother and sister. And Rhyme, being the sister, she doesn't have her memories of her brother, so she doesn't know who her brother is, but she knows that she's very attached to him.
Okay.
But Beat still knows that he's her sister, that's his sister. So you have to choose a partner early on in the game, or you get erased. So he instantly saw her and just asked to be her partner, knowing that she didn't remember who he was. So I don't know what Beat gave up, but anyway, another spoiler alert. Rhyme gets erased, protecting Beat. And the crappy thing about this game is if your partner gets erased or dies, you only have 7 minutes of existence before you get erased. So she protects him, and right when he's about to be erased himself, a fate, you know, steps in, intervenes, and saves him. I don't know what happens to Beat since then, but I have been kind of told by someone who has beaten this game that Neku will have several partners throughout the course of this game, and some of the storylines are just as deep as, say, Shiki's and Ramen Beats. So I know I gave this a very high review when I did my article. I highly recommend it, and I do so even now. Even more so now than I did previously. So if you want to rent it, then by all means, please go and rent this. I do not think you will dislike it.
Okay.
And my other last little bit, I don't know if a lot of people are aware, but over in 360 Land, they have gone and released a demo of Section 8 that was released by South Peaks. I know I've talked about it on the show once before, and I talked about playing it over at E3, which was a lot of fun. And I got a little notification on my tweets
about that.
So I figured since they tweeted me that I should tweet you. So you have been tweeted.
Tweet the deep.
So if you have a 360 and you've got some space, check it out. The worst case scenario, you don't like the demo, you delete it, and you don't pay for the game.
There you go. That's how
so
demos work.
So it can't hurt you.
Well, I mean, your
360
little...
could, like, fall on your foot as you're downloading it, but why are you balancing your Xbox on your foot in the first place, fucktard?
Yeah,
Put it down.
All right. I'll put it down. I'll leave it alone. I'm not going to... Yeah. I won't touch it.
I mean, a lot of people are kind of looking at Section 8 as a weaker Halo, and who knows? I've never played Halo, so I cannot make the comparison. I liked it as a newcomer to the third person shooter franchise. So
third person shooter is fun. It gives me the smiley giggly time.
But that's all that I've got to talk about today.
Oh,
that's it.
It's
no more.
End of town.
It's done.
You all done?
I'm all done. Oh. So you can take the mic of 1,000 truths, and now you can talk in it.
Aw, shucks. I get to speak sores.
Yes,
yay.
Your turn. Tag, you're it.
Oh, man, I like being it. All right, so I've got a bunch of little things, and then I think a couple of
big things.
Ones. Well, not big, but just interesting. So, first off, on the arcade side, got a couple of demos this weekend for my Weekend Warrior stuff. And first up on the deck, because I don't believe everything I read on the internet, just most of it,
mm-hmm,
is true. Some of it, there's a little bit of inflation. There's about 10% bullshit on the internet. Okay, maybe that number might be a little bit high. Or need to be higher. I can't remember. But I played both the Trials HD demo and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Time re-shelled game. And I'm going to start off first with TMNT TITRS. That's right. If you go all acronym on it, it's got tit right in the middle of it.
Turtle tits?
Turtle tit. TMNT TITRS.
Aw, I do not want my animated characters with boobies outside of anime.
Okay, so here's...
Like Howard the Duck. Duck tits, don't need them.
Howard the Duck. Ooh! All right. Oh, that was supposed to be so much better a movie than it was. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. Internets, I stand corrected. You are right. You win. This demo sucked.
Sucks balls!
Oh, Lord Jesus. Stay far, far away from this. It only costs 800 points. It's not worth it.
Not worth it. No, 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 no.
Okay.
No!
It really would have been better if they had just brought the original game and
oh
ported
my God,
that.
The arcade game?
Mm-hmm. If they had just ported the arcade game,
oh,
I would have been fine.
Sex in video games.
It would have been sex on your TV. They did
oh,
not.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. They did not. So let's talk about Reshelled. First of all, they reworked a lot of the graphics, and they kind of did a cel shading job on it, but not exactly.
Kind of, sort of, maybe, not really?
Well, you know how you have 2.5D when you talk about anime because they've got some computer-generated stuff and some
blah, blah, blah,
stuff.
Yank my cock, yank my cock.
Right. So that's what we did here. It's not truly cel-shaded like in the Sly Cooper games, but it's not completely sprite either, so it's in the middle. Which makes everything look a little bit off to start with, especially if you played the original game. It is a side-scroller, so thank the Lord for that. But in moving between the planes, that's where the most uncomfortable piece comes. And this is really where the demo, and I assume, because I refuse to pay 800 points to try it, to prove it to myself, that the gameplay actually falls flat on its face. Because
it falls flat on its shell?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, bad joke. Ooh, I'm going to go sit in the corner now.
Thank you. In moving between the planes, both on the forward front and the back front, it is very difficult to align yourself properly with the enemies that are swarming the screen. So it's a good thing that the foot soldiers are too stupid, that you can just smack them a couple of times and they explode. Even the more difficult white foot soldiers are retarded, so that you can smack them twice and they will just go boom and blow up. Barrels still explode like they're supposed to, so you can knock one around and then jump out of the way and blow up a bunch of foot soldiers. That's really nice. But the problem is the AI shift dramatically changes when you go to the level boss. That when I was playing the demo, I had to play it twice because the first time I started losing lives really quickly with a boss who literally was just a fly with a gun. Remember the first boss? There was that little mosquito dude?
Yes.
That it was like ridiculously easy to boot. He ate three
easy
of my guys.
Easy to boot? Easy to boot?
Yeah, easy to boot.
You mean you said boot.
Well,
easy to boot? Are you Canadian now?
I did. I switched religions.
You did not switch religions. Canada isn't a religion.
I don't know. You talk to some of those Canadian people.
Eh?
Eh? They get a little religious on you there, eh? Talking about how much better Canada is than anything else.
Play games with.
No, I had some Starburst in my mouth and it got stuck on my teeth, okay?
Oh, okay.
So anyway. He ate like three of my guys.
Like nom nom?
Like nom nom. Like, no kidding. I was like, why shell-shocked? What the shit are you talking about? I'm using Donatello. Donatello doesn't get shell-shocked.
Well, he shouldn't. He has a fucking...
staff! I smack you in the head. Double jump still works. Guess what? If depending upon how you time it, you can get triple jump to work. So, like, there's no reason why I shouldn't be higher than this freaking mosquito in the air, and he's still shooting me, and I'm dying. So I stopped the demo. I restarted because I called shenanigans on this.
Shenanigans! Shenanigans!
And so I started it again. This time he ate two of my guys before I killed him. And that's when I was like, all right, demo, you can suck on my balls. Because it wasn't fun. And I don't know if it's nostalgia that makes me think the game was better, but I remember distinctly playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games. And no, it's not nostalgia. It's not me being easily impressed when I was 12 and 13. Because I wasn't easily impressed when I was 12 and 13.
I was easily amused.
Which Pandalicious will attest to. It was
indeed
very difficult to impress me at all.
Yeah, well.
I grew out of it. But it's not. This game, this demo, is not fun. And I don't think it's worth the 800 points. So I'm going to have to chime in and agree. Circle gets the square.
Circle gets the square, motherfucker.
Stay away from it. You can try the demo if you don't trust my judgment, but I'm trying to save you Microsoft points here, people. Especially because you're going to need them.
Mm-hmm.
The next month or two, you're going to need all the points you can afford.
You can get. So I hope you've been playing 1 versus 100 and hopes to win some points.
I hope you've been playing 1 versus 100, that you've got people that owe you presents.
I already need presents.
Bitches that just like you, because leading up to the other thing I'm talking about, some fun shit's coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, we're about to start kicking up and going into having to talk about the Beatles Rock Band on almost every episode that we do because it's getting ready to drop.
Well, you're probably going to get it, but...
9909. Look, you don't have to get the whole bundle. You've got a guitar. You've got drums.
I know, but I want the big black roundy one.
Well, you know what? You got a job now. Okay, Christmas is coming. Get the game by itself. And who knows what Santa might bring you for Christmas?
An axe?
It's a possibility. I don't know. I'm not Santa.
Right. Okay.
Okay, but get the game, because we have to play. All right, moving on. In talking about that, you know, we got to talk about the DLC that they're bringing. I mentioned it before, that the Harmonix people have decided to kind of bring the awesome leading up to Beatles Rock Band. They're not playing, okay? Last time we talked about this, I talked about the Spinal Tap coming.
Spinal Tap. What's next?
This time I got to talk about it, because... they released some Maroon 5 tracks.
Which one?
Wake Up Call for one.
Ooh.
Okay. So there's a 3-song track pack there. Rebel Yell, Thank Lord Jesus by Billy Idol is coming this week. With a Rebel Yell. Okay, I just... My childhood harmonics, I thank you, because I'm going to get to sing it all again.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the teams over there at Harmonix who are delivering this content are probably in the same age group.
Many of them are. Except Alex Rogopoulos. I think he's a little bit older than me, because I think he graduated MIT before I would have graduated school, the college I went to. Anywho, they're bringing the awesome. Talking about bringing the awesome, so this is where the hardware, the gadgets come in. As we speak, Microsoft is releasing versions of the microphones that you can use in Lips, in Guitar Hero, and Rock Band that are wireless. So the wireless Lips mics are finally effing compatible with all three games. Which makes the Beatles Rock Band even better, because now for those people that you want to have do the 3-part harmony stuff, okay, you don't have to figure out how to get all those people smack dab in front of your Xbox so you can cable both the USB ports on the back and the damn front so that everybody can be wired in. Now you can get the wireless mics, the Lips ones, that have the little light show in the bottom.
Yay!
So I'm looking forward to actually getting my hands on those guys, hopefully... when the Beatles Rock Band launches, so I can have the in-house party and we can get to the singing shenanigans-ness that may or may not happen. But once it's done, I'll have a review of how they work with the Guitar Hero game as well as with the Rock Band, so we'll do a compare and contrast on that. Also on the gadget side, as you probably know by now, if you're a game nerd, which you should be, because that's why you're listening to our show right now, PS3 Slim was announced, and you can start pre-ordering the suckers on Amazon.
It's butt-fucking-ugly!
Okay, I'm glad you said it, because I didn't want
to
say it.
It's butt-fucking-ugly!
But it's cheaper.
I wouldn't even shove it in my ass. No!
So you would shove your Xbox in your ass?
No.
Look, you brought up the conversation.
Let me clarify here, okay?
Please do. Because I am very confused.
Xbox 360 was a man.
Oh, God. Are you sure you really want to go here?
And he took me out on a date. And we've been dating for a while. I mean, I've been dating my Xbox for a couple years now. And he wanted to experiment something kinky. I'm not going to say what.
You already did.
I would say what.
Oh, now, my God. Now, I can't believe you just said that.
Now.
I'm not cutting this out.
If the PS3... were a man, not the Slim, but the original 3 backwards compatible, came up in a Jag. It was like, sup, baby. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Now, if the PS3 Slim, the fucking retarded cousin of the PS3, was like,
you gotta let it roll up in the
fucking Honda hatchback.
No, it would have to, it would not be a hatchback. It would be an Accord.
All right, fine.
Come rolls on, let's in, be fair.
It rolls up in a nice, clean Honda Accord.
Yes. It's okay, like, leather interior with the fake wood paneling.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Rolled up and said, yo, I know you went out with my brother. He said you were a pretty cool chick. I'd like to hang out with you. Nothing serious. I'd be like, fuck you. No. It's retarded. It still is wide as a 360. It doesn't have the cool motion sensor finger thing. Uh-uh.
Okay.
I ain't having it.
All
right. I ain't having it.
Guess what? Here's what I'm going to call the timeout, and here's why I'm going to tell you everything you just said is wrong and why you need it.
Ugh.
Okay?
I don't like the way that it looks. I don't like it. It's
okay.
Not
it's not as sexy.
No, it's not. And I want sexy in my console.
And I have been the biggest person to call out the PS3 for being too bulky. And it is. But the gloss covering, the coffin, whatever you want to call it. I
it
can't
looks
remember.
Like coffin.
Whatever. The gloss finish does add a lot of style. Okay, it's bulky as shit. And the slim doesn't take off a whole lot of bulk. Okay, overall. I mean, it's definitely smaller than its predecessors. It's because it doesn't have the same innards in it. But here's the deal. Six axis, the tilt thing, sucks balls. You're not missing anything.
Nope.
Okay? It's the whole reason why Sony's still working on a motion controller. Because they know they didn't get it right with six axis. So you're not missing anything by getting a PS3 Slim that doesn't have it. You actually make up better than those of us that got stuck with the original controllers that have it, but refused to come out of pocket and get some regular controllers that actually have the fucking force feedback, because that's what I miss most, is force effing feedback. Okay? So, number one, you're not really missing out on not having the force feedback. Number two, it's $299. For you bitches that don't have full-time jobs that pay you every week, $299 is feasible. And with that $299, what you're getting is you're getting a PS3 that will let you play God of War, that will let you play Little Big Planet, that will let you play Heavenly Sword.
It is a Blu-ray.
And it has the Blu-rays.
But it's not very pretty.
Okay, guess what? Neither was the Pacer, but it got you from point A to point B.
Good point.
Okay.
All right, fine.
So
I would go out for coffee.
Look, let it take you out for coffee and pop for a movie. Okay, right. You may be surprised to find out it sprung for some IMAX.
Okay.
Okay, there are a lot of things I'm not happy with. The PS3 Slim, I understand why Sony doesn't want to do it, but you gotta put backwards compatibility back in something. There are still too many people that have games, PS2 games, that, you know what, I know that they're not PS3, I know they're not new, they're not the next gen things, but they're still fun, that don't have PS2s or can get a hold of working PS2s easily.
I have a working PS2.
Okay. Yes. And how many PS2s did you have before you got that one?
One.
Okay.
Okay, no, two. One got
Thank
set on fire.
You. I was about to say, I thought that was your third
one. Yes, somebody set one of them on fire.
It happens. Okay. But going down to your local GameStop and trying to get a hold of either a new PS2 is getting more and more difficult. Sony is still making them, but not at the rate that they were, because they really want you to buy into their PS3s. And I think that they could stop PS2 production altogether if they just made the backwards compatibility work in the existing PS3. I mean, it's the reason why when Sony came out with the PS3 first initially, I told myself it'd be okay and I could be an early adopter. Because they still had a lot of games on the PS2 that I was enjoying playing, and there weren't a lot of launch titles, in honesty, that I was interested in playing. And so I did not want to buy a system if I didn't have content to play on it. So I still think that it's a mistake to not have some way of doing backwards compatibility with the system. Okay. I like the price point, though. I really do. I mean, comparing that to the price points of where the Wii is at and where the Xbox 360, both on the premium edition and on the elite edition, I think is great. I think the thing that's going to be very interesting going into holiday are the rumors about the price drop on the Xbox 360 Elite and that it's coming down to $299.
Ooh.
Because now you're going to have a very interesting holiday, okay? The calendar for holiday for games looks really, really strong.
I know.
And so to be able to pit, in essence, Microsoft's high-end box with Sony's low-end box at the same price point, and really the difference between the two be content, in that Sony is going to be able to play Blu-ray, whereas Microsoft has gotten the exclusive rights. I don't know for how long. I'll have to do some fact-checking on this one, guys. But they have got some exclusivity rights for digital streaming of Netflix. So that's something that's not going to be coming to your PS3 anytime too soon. And those parties seem to be pretty doggone popular on the Xbox Live right now. I think that we're going to actually see that real interesting head-to-head competition out of the Microsoft camp and the Sony camp that we expected last holiday, that didn't happen.
Mm.
And what I'm curious to see is how Nintendo's now going to try to interject themselves in the mix. Because we don't have a Zelda game for holiday.
Nope.
Because that would be a console mover for Nintendo.
Oh, for death. Most, you know, deaf.
So instead, what you have is an Elite, which has the HDMI, it has the 120 gig hard drive, and, you know, gives you the ability to do Xbox Live and all that content for $299. You now have the PS3 Slim, which is a Blu-ray player. It plays the Sony games, at least for the next-gen stuff. Not so much for the backwards compatibility stuff, but you can do the downloads. It has a slightly better drive than the previous one before. I believe that it clocks in. I can't remember. I'd have to look this up. And I didn't, so I apologize for not doing my homework, guys. But I believe that it clocks in someplace around the 120 area for the hard drive storage on the Slim. I think it's going to be interesting. I think that it's going to be neat.
I don't know.
I want to see holiday. Look, for a lot of people who were Sony fans to begin with, it's a no-brainer. Okay? Mm. It's an absolute no-brainer. You want to play God of War 3? You need a PS3. It's not going to happen anyplace else. You need to make it happen. So what do you do to make it happen? You come out of pocket for $300. Plus the game.
Yeah, you're right.
Done and donerer.
Okay. Maybe.
At least it's not $500.
Agreed.
Okay. You can get an iPhone or you can get a PS3.
All right. Well, you put it that way.
$299.
Okay.
So I think that it was a smart move by Sony. I think they should have made this announcement, though, at E3. I think that they would have had a stronger summer if they had.
Good point.
Because you would have people now probably more likely picking up the Batman Arkham Asylum game on the PS3 such that they could play the Joker.
Yeah, that's lucky.
It would have helped.
Oh, wait, you get to play the Joker. You have a PS3.
Yeah, but I would have to first get the money in order to get the game.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, no problem. So, last little gadget thing, and then I'll get to the game stuff, is I'm looking forward to, and I'm just working out the deals right now, actually testing out a couple of new mice from Razer. They've got one called the Mamba, which looks like it is going to be the slickest mouse
for gaming.
Not ever, but the slickest mouse so far this year that's won a reasonable price. And just ridiculously responsive. Now, I'm going to preface this with, I have a little ProClick mouse from Razer that I bring along with me a lot of times when I travel. And I absolutely love it because it's like the size of a, if you remember the Motorola Pebble phones? Like, that's what it reminds me of. It's literally about the size of my palm, which, as you know, I have little tiny, teeny tiny ballerina hands. I don't know what that means. But I've been a fan of their mice. Some of their mice haven't worked for me on my main computer because my main computer is a Mac. But I am actually getting back into, I don't know why, gaming on the PC and also gaming a little bit, tiny bit, on my Mac. So I'm really looking forward to being able to test this mouse. If you haven't checked it out, you should check out RazorZone.com. And you can't miss it. It's right there under mice. And I think they're even hyping it right now as one of their newer guys. So we're looking forward to getting a hold of that. And hopefully we'll have it in time for our Cool for Back to School Roundup podcast. And if not, you'll see it on the website. And also,
like, going back to school, get some consoles.
Yeah, going back to school, here's what you need in your dorm. One, an Xbox 360 Elite. Two, a PS3, because you got to watch that shit on Blu-ray, son. Come on,
and it's Blade Runner. You don't really need a Wii, but it can't hurt your chances of getting laid.
Here's the thing, okay? You don't need a Wii if you're going into a college dorm, because your room's not going to be big enough.
No. But an apartment.
Now, apartment, that would be different. So if we were going to do a post on how to move into your first place,
we would give you a list of all the things that you need to attract the gamer women's.
And yeah, to like get what? Fios. You need bandwidth. You need, like, seriously, dude, you got to be having thick pipe.
That's about bandwidth. You like bandwidth.
It is a necessity.
Bandwidth.
Like, your pipe's got to be like, whoa. For you to even consider it. You gotta have a pipe like, whoa.
Like, whoa.
You have network drops on every worm. I don't even want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we may do that for an episode. Who knows? So, on the game front, last things. Played one demo, and then finally got around to playing a game that I've had rented from GameFly for like a month that I haven't actually put in my Xbox because Rock Band and Fable have been stealing my life. And now to hear about the episodic Fable stuff that's coming out, the five chapters, as well as Fable 3, I'm just like, Pila Molyneux just does not want me to ever have a life.
Oh my god, I saw the trailer for Fable 3.
Yeah, like, Pila Molyneux just has decided, like, hey, Ninja Sister, guess what? You are never going to be able to be social again. I'm about to eat your soul.
Yum, 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 I've got my ketchup.
And I'm like, okay, I go good with salt and Italian seasoning. Trials HD. Again, heard information on the internets. The internets said, hey, it's good. Even Major Nelson's like, yep, gonna hit that up as soon as I finish doing the other 9 bajillion work things that he does. Like, that man is always on the hustle. I've got to say, I don't know how he keeps it all together. Because he is all over the damn place. Iraq, doing the shows, and I tip my hat to you, sir. You're awesome.
I tip something.
Major Nelson is a shit. Internet people, just stop by MajorNelson.com and tell him, Ninja Sister told me to tell you that you're awesome, because you are. Because he is. Alright, so moving back. Trials HD. Had no idea what it was about, but I kept seeing everybody that I follow on Twitter, which is a bunch of people, by the way, talking about how it's their go-to game before they go and run off and do things in the real world. So I figured, I better finally check this damn thing out. So I fire up ye old Xboxy, jump on the marketplace, and as soon as I see the artwork for it, I'm not gonna lie, I had a reaction. I'm like, ugh, this isn't gonna be fun, but okay, I'll try. So basically, it's a dirt bike.
Mm-hmm.
And you look like, kind of like Bane, sitting on this little tiny dirt bike for the artwork. Because it's way out of proportion, but that's not how the game plays. Basically, Trials is a bunch of puzzles. Okay, there are all these ramps, and it's a side-scroller, in essence. And what you have to do is you have to rev up, slow down, and tilt, because you're fighting physics. There are all these little ramps, and you have to get from the start point to the end point. So kind of think of like a braid or a little big planet in that you have a puzzle level that you got to make it through the level and get to different areas above you and below you and things like that.
Okay.
But what's interesting is that you're doing this all on a dirt bike. So there are little half ramps and there are full-on circle ones that you either have to speed up for to make it all the way around the circle. And your character at times will, you know, for really, really high jumps or really, really high falls, will scream a little bit.
Okay.
Like, he wants to say, oh, holy fuck, but doesn't. So I went through the first level, and it was real, real simple, because it was kind of trying to teach you the basics of how to tilt forward or tilt backwards to successfully navigate hitting these ramps. Because if you don't hit it straight on, you do crash, and so then you have to reset yourself, and you take a couple seconds on penalty. But basically, your whole piece is to make it from the beginning of the level to the end, cross the finish line in the shortest time possible. And as I was playing the trial, what I realized was it was automatically, without me even picking leaderboards, showing me for the levels I was playing times that my friends had done on the game.
Okay.
Just right below me, so I could see whether or not I beat Alpha Box's time on a level, because he's played it. Or Bedazzler, who's another one of my friends, who you guys out in the interwebs probably know by a different name. But I really found myself, after about the second level, enjoying it. My first gut reaction, though, to the game was as I was waiting for it to load, an announcer came on and started screaming, like, yeah, we're going to play Trials, get it on. And my brain went, okay, so now we've got Dr. Roxo from Metalocalypse doing the intro. Like, I really expected, because they try to have a real heavy metal theme going on, because mm-hmm. you're on a dirt bike and there's, like, metal music in the background. And explosions go off a lot of times when you're on the level, so that's kind of distracting. But I felt like Dr. Roxo was going to come out at any point in time and be like, yeah, I do cocaine! Like, okay, get on the bike. Let's ride, bitch. I don't know. But I really enjoyed Trials. I will probably purchase it this evening. I think the price is a little bit steep, though. It is an HD, so, I mean, the graphics do look really good, but it's an arcade game, and it's 1,200 points for the full game, so that's kind of a bit steep, especially with, you know, all of the Beatles Rock Band purchases that I'm about to make when this thing goes live. So I'm just going to need to buy more points. Basically, is what's going to have to happen. Because I really enjoy it, and I, like I said, I'm probably going to buy it. So if you're looking for a fun game that you can pick up, I definitely recommend the trial. You can get through about 3 different puzzles in the trial mode before it's like, alright, now you can unlock the game or go back and try to beat other times. Like, on one level, I was able to go back and totally beat my time by like a minute.
Ooh.
Which was impressive. The loop-de-loop killed me on that level. But anyway. And there's about 4 different ways that you can solve the whole level, just depending upon how high you go. But I like the fact that you're fighting physics.
Physics is a worthy opponent.
And that it's a fighter, that it's a puzzler, without you really knowing right off the bat that it's a puzzler. I kind of thought that was ingenious, so.
I fight physics every day.
I fight physics every moment of my life. I'm fighting it right now.
Sometimes it beats me. It's sad.
Physics does win every once in a while. But only every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I'm not going to get to today, because we ran out of time, so I'll just write about it on the website. So be on the lookout for my first impressions of Onichanbara Bikini Killing Squad.
Bikini Killing Squad.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And look for my review on Wednesday of Ponyo, Hayazaki's latest film.
So, in order to read those things, you're going to have to go to our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use a short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or just questions in general, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast airing on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, on Monday nights at about 11 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. Pacific time. Don't know when that's going to change, but as soon as we know, we'll let you know. Before that, though, if you want to pop in early, you can definitely check out some really amazing entertainment at the All Games Radio Network, like OLR.
Or Dead Pixel Live.
Video Game Outsiders.
Evil Avatar.
There's OLR.
There's Gametopius.
There's Bobby Blackwolf Show.
And even though they're not a part of the network, there's always Friday Night Gaming.
So make sure that you check out some of the really fun and entertaining things over there at All Games Radio Network, allgames.com. And if you bounce into chat while you're listening to any of the things, either live or when they're running, make sure that you let them know that a Chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you over there, because we like getting credit for all the people we send that.
And while you're there checking them out, make sure that they are checking us out.
That's right. We got to be reciprocal, bitches. No 68s and I owe you ones
here.
Let
them do the 1-2 look over like, hey.
How you doing?
Exactly.
Also, because I can't forget, and I wrote a note to myself so I wouldn't forget, assignment avatar, guys. All you got to do is create an avatar, either using your Xbox Live avatar, your PSN Home avatar, make a me, use Zwinky. There's all kinds of avatar creation things out there on the web. I don't care what you use. But use the service to create an avatar that looks like an anime character or your favorite anime character. And send it in to me no later than September 10th. Okay? To questions@esh.mobi and put assignment avatar in the title, in the subject line. Get them to me, guys, because we're probably going to be able to use them for our super secret awesome October project.
Our super fun awesome project. Oh, and don't forget, if you like what we do here, you should check out our little bastards.
Our little bastards!
Over at bostonbastardbrigade.com.
Yeah, they're funny dudes. You should check them out. We like them a lot. We think you'll like them, too.
Is there anything else?
No, that's it. Simon Avatar. B3. Oh, we forgot to tell people about following us on Twitter. Because we like stalkers on the internet. Internet only. No stalky real lifey. You can follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com/ninjasista.
And you can look me up as Lady Esh.
So with that, I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
It's pretty toasty to me.
Yeah, I think it's almost Cajun style, actually.
Uh-huh.
Which means we might have almost burnt the toast. What are you doing with your toast, sis?
I am going to scalp my toast. My toast are Nazis, and I'm going to scalp them.
So does that just mean you're taking the crust off?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I have the right visual.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm actually going to put some honey on my toast.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that might be, like, crazy delicious.
Like, you know, Bibs and Mr. Pibs?
Yeah, like Red Vines and,
Pibs equals crazy delicious?
Yeah, I think toast and honey, I think it might be, like, crazy awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna give that a shot.
Sounds like a plan, sis. Sounds like a plan.
I'll let you guys know how I make out. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we are out of here, guys.
See you guys next week.
Next week.